Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney who joins us on occasion. Hello, Mr. Peck.
John, how are you today?
See, that's what I wish she would have said. Speak the whole truth, and if you don't like it, tough. You're going to die someday. That's the way Carrie talks sometimes.
Well, regrettably, we all are going to die someday.
Carrie joins us frequently to talk about some of the issues that concern us as we are concerned about our adult parents. And listen to this, Carrie. Headline, Americans say helping aging parents is more important than inheritance. I don't know if that should be shocking or not. I mean, ultimately, you want the best for your parents, and you don't want them to die any younger than they have to. You might get some money if they do, but it's the care for them that is just so paramount to people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s right now.
Well, getting good health care in general, as you know, is difficult, but certainly getting health care for older adults, your parents, it's very, very difficult. We don't have a lot of choices. You know, at the end of the day, as your parents age, we worry about them falling. We worry about their cognitive impairment. We worry about whether we can afford an in-home caregiver. Everybody wants to stay in their home. We worry about if they have to go into a facility, how will they be treated, the cost of that as well. So it's a very, very, very slippery slope, and it's a difficult scenario. I'm thrilled to see that you've got an article that indicates care is more important than money. Regrettably, in my law firm, we see money more important than care.
I guess that's where the rub comes. It says here, while the level of responsibility Americans take on for their adult family members varies, the majority say they feel the most responsible for taking care of their elderly parents. In fact, the highest share of respondents, 66%, said adult children should have a great deal of responsibility for caring for a parent who needs it. Adult children providing caregiving for an elderly parent who needs it, 66%. Adult children providing financial assistance to an elderly parent, 55%. Wow. Wow.
So in addition to that, John, there's a statistic that is probably very difficult, if not impossible, to gauge. And that is when children take care of their parents and they have to leave work early, or they can't go to work because they have to take mom to the doctor, or things of that nature, what's the cost to our society and what's the cost to that individual?
Or that employer.
Or the employer.
My sister Mary is often taking her lunch break or taking a half day off from work to run dad to an appointment or to put out a fire. I took a day off one day to run down to Joliet and see what was going on. And I know we're not unique in that. And I don't know if the laws in Illinois or the United States appreciate that. Like, if you have a child, you can get maternity leave and you can get paternity leave, even if you adopt. But what about if you just have to take care of people on the other end of the life spectrum? We should get days off for that, or, I don't know, some sort of accommodation.
Well, the ARP group has indicated that they intend to try and make family caregiving an election issue upcoming. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, they're going to ask for laws to be passed to require employers to let their employees off for family caregiving.
I wonder who will like that more, Republicans or Democrats, right? That's a family issue. That sounds Republican, but that sounds business onerous, so maybe Republicans don't like it. I don't know where Democrats are on that either. I wonder how that would go.
Yeah, I don't know how it goes, but I think it's clearly behind, the U.S. is behind the eight ball in terms of realizing, as they do in Europe, for example, that aging parents require care and require their children to take off work.
I think I can say this on the radio. I believe we have before. My previous producer, Elif, her stepfather was entering early dementia. She and her mother, he and Elif's mother, so the husband and wife, living here in the United States, Elif's parents and stepfather, moved to Turkey because the health care for him would be better there. Turkey. I mean, God bless Turkey, but wow.
Yeah, so I think that that statement in and of itself is pretty descriptive of the problems we face. You add that to the fact that older adults are now just so susceptible to being taken advantage of by scammers. It's just an extraordinary scenario. We're seeing that billions of dollars are being stolen from older adults by scammers in various types of ruses.
I'm less surprised about that now than I used to be, just because there's so much crap going out there. I mean, I get it all the time. Hey, you've got a UPS package. You need to click here because we weren't able to deliver it. And I could see my parents thinking, holy crap. And they love to do things properly. We can't have that just sitting there, John. So what should we do? So I could just see them clicking through. Fortunately, my parents are not astute enough to know how to click through. So that message is lost on them. But I could see just how easy prey a senior citizen is these days.
Yeah, senior citizens are very susceptible. They're getting approached a lot of different ways on their phones, on the telephone, on their computers, and even people are knocking on their doors in person. Hey, we need some help, and the alleged cause is a complete fake. So this is going on all the time, and of course we've talked in the past about caregivers taking advantage of their older adult patients, and regrettably family members taking advantage of their older adult patients.
I sent you a text, didn't I, about this story about Joseph Stankak, who is the guy that died with an $11 million estate, and they can't figure out who gets the money.
Right.
I just want to ask you a couple questions about that.
Go ahead.
I know you didn't work on this case. You've only read it like I have, but there's a guy named Joseph Stankak. I think that's how you say it. S-T-A-N-C-A-K. He passed away in 2016. They discovered that he had $11 million in his estate. His estate was valued at $11 million. I don't know if that was CDs or a savings account, but he hadn't married. He had no children. He had no siblings they could find. So, and he had no will. So an attorney was then appointed. It said an attorney was appointed, and they then found more than 119 distant relatives. People were getting, or were going to get letters saying, here's $11 million divided by 119, a check will be in the mail. I'm sure those people were happy to get that. But then a will surfaced in Cook County Probate Court. And now the question is that will valid or not? A search turned up 119 relatives around the world, and checks divvying up his fortune were being prepared to be sent, until a court petition filed in June asked the judge overseeing the case to accept a newly turned up will. And then it gets more complicated than that. It appears that the will might have been trumped up by somebody who just wanted to get the money.
Right. I read about that case last night, and it appears that that will purportedly was written by someone in New York. And of course, the signing of that will is susceptible to suspicion. It appears from the article I read that the signature may be susceptible to suspicion. So I think at the moment, the court and the lawyers involved are taking a close look at the validity of that document.
The court filing says that only two copies of the will were produced. One was to be kept by a company called Smart Kids Child Care, and one went to the lawyer who drafted the will, John Alleman, who mysteriously died in a plane crash after the document was signed. Wow. Okay.
So at the end of the day, in order to determine if a will is valid, we're going to start with, was the signature of the decedent forged? Is it real? We're going to take a look at the what we call the attestation clause, which is two witnesses attesting that they saw the decedent, they saw the dead person, sign. They believe them to be of sound mind and memory. And then notarization. So there are a lot of fail-safe checks here. And at this moment, it doesn't appear that will is likely to get all those check marks.
I remember when I had my will updated recently, and I think Marlene watched me sign it here. I had the document at work. I said, hey, Marlene, you're a fine, upstanding person. Will you watch me sign it? And she did. I guess the point was it doesn't have to be a family member. It doesn't have to be a public official. It can just be anybody that will sign.
In fact, John, if it's a family member, that will's likely to be held invalid because that family member would be deemed what we call an interested person, and they might have inherited under that will. And if you're going to inherit as a family member and you sign that will is going to be found invalid.
Hmm.
So it doesn't have to be a public official. It just has to be people who testify, so to speak, of sound mind and memory.
Does the signature matter?
Signature matters a lot.
But signatures change over the years. My dad's signature today is a lot different than it was 30 years ago.
That's why we have two witnesses who can say, I saw John Williams sign that will.
Can a DocuSign be valid?
It is not.
Really?
It is not. During the pandemic, Governor Pritzker issued an executive order allowing us to execute wills with the witnesses appearing by Zoom. The individual still had to come to our office, or we had to go to their house or our office in the suburbs and have them sign face-to-face, but the witnesses could appear on Zoom. The law requires you hold up your driver's license, and everybody announces where they are, literally, physically, geographically, and it's required that that be recorded and kept in order to be a valid will.
But the witnesses will say, yeah, that's his signature. But the signature could have changed over the years from the time it was witnessed.
There is a growing contingent of people that profess to be handwriting experts, and they will come in and testify on
that
the
just
issue
seems so
if
old,
necessary.
But it seems so old school. Although I don't like DocuSign. Every time I DocuSign something yesterday, and I'm nervous as hell that I'm doing it wrong or that I'm clicking on something I shouldn't, even though I know I'm in the portal for a document and I want to execute this thing. I haven't read every page of it. It's weird. I've been burned by DocuSign. I accidentally DocuSigned something once, and it was everything I could to get out of that. Anyway, what are your thoughts about
that? I think that's a huge problem. It's also a scam. I've gotten multiple requests to sign documents on my telephone that I have no idea what they are. I have no idea who sent them. And I'm assuming that once I sign, they're going to take my money, my house, my car, maybe my wife.
I want to ask you some of the questions that came up last time you were here.
Of course.
And it was about siblings trying to figure out what to do with mom and dad, who should have power of attorney, and what to do when there is some rivalries that take place. You may have a question, too. Kerry Peck, the elder law attorney, will give his phone number in a second. Remember, when you call him, it's 312-201-0900. That initial consultation is free. And then he'll help you resolve these family issues in court or out of court. How often is it in court? How often is it out of court?
Well, I think that probably be 50-50.
And, really?
But there's certainly a growing trend to go to court because the families involved can't work it out. And so we need a judge to tell them what to do.
312 says, hey, guys, even with caller ID, I have to stop answering my phone now due to the volume of possible scammers. And 847 said, I can tell you firsthand, this country has no financial assistance to middle-class Americans to care for our parents, and it is shameful, says 847. I suppose you agree.
I agree. I agree. I think that, collectively, if we can get Congress to be less than paralyzed, we need to work on health care.
Well, speaking of that, Kaiser Health News has a story about remote workers, an underestimated benefit for family caregivers. They say that the big concerns, it says here, the return to office debate, are we going to go back to the offices, has centered on commuting, people don't want to make the drive, convenience, working from home, and child care. The fourth big C is caregiving for adult family members, and that is seldom mentioned.
Yeah, I think that it is seldom mentioned, but I think we're seeing it on the horizon. Everybody knows someone who is caring for their parents, and as a result, that's going to be a very solid political issue in the upcoming election.
Hey, Kent, you're on WGN with Kerry Peck. What can we do for you, Kent? You're on the air.
Hi, Kerry. My question is, recently I've seen several commercials on television about getting a will or trust for $250 online. And I wanted to hear your opinion of that. Thank you.
My opinion is that personally, I would not recommend hiring a lawyer online, going not seeing the lawyer, not talking to the lawyer. These are big decisions, and these are decisions that are going to impact you the rest of your life, and when you're gone, they're going to impact your family. So it's I'm not a fan of it.
This is Lisa. You're on WGN. Lisa, what can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. I just recently lost my mother. She was 92. We had exhausted all her assets. The house, everything was gone for her care at the nursing home. I was wondering if there is anything I have to do because I'm the executor. I don't know what to do with that. I mean,
well, did she have a will, Lisa?
Yes, she did.
So the will needs to be filed with the clerk of the circuit court of whatever county you reside in. And thereafter, if there's no assets, then you probably don't need to do anything. The question is, are there any claims that have been filed against you or your mother? Funeral bills, doctor bills, hospital bills, things of that nature. If so, you might want to consider opening a probate estate, having those claims filed and reporting that there are no assets. A lot of those creditors may seek to come after you. And if they're your mother's debts versus your own, then you might want to have to resolve that in a probate court.
Do you know, is that happening? Are they coming after you, Lisa, in some way?
The nursing home is.
Wait a minute.
They want more money. I have no more money.
Wait a minute. But it's, Carrie, is Lisa, the daughter, liable for the bill that her mother incurred?
Generally, no. But Lisa, I hope you did not sign as guarantor when you admitted your mother. That's usually...
No, I didn't sign anything.
Perfect. That's usually a problem. People, you know, adult children sign in, Mom, and they don't read it, and it says, I guarantee Mom's debt.
I don't know if we did that for my mom and dad.
I'm raising the issue, so you and your listeners think about it.
It's very cagey out there.
Cagey.
Agree.
Lisa, one last question. How much does the home say that your mother owes?
$11,000.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're in pretty good stead if Carrie is, if you are correct in that you did not sign as a guarantor. And a guarantor just means you've also co-signed on the application to the place saying I covered the debt.
Right. You basically obligate yourself to pay your mother's debt.
Lisa, good luck to you. This is Jeff. You're on WGN. Pardon me. Jeff is on this line. Jeff, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I have a quick question. My neighbor is 91 years old. I am his caregiver. He's a wealthy man. His nephew lives in Florida, and he is paying me $500 a month to take care of him, you know, like take him to the grocery store and take him to doctor's visits. And he's paying me out of this guy's Edward Jones account. I just want to make sure I'm not breaking any laws. He gives me $500 a month.
Yeah, I the way you describe it, I don't know that you're breaking any laws, but you will not be able to inherit money from your neighbor in excess of $20,000, if that's any part of this equation. But receiving money to care for your neighbor in and of itself, standalone, is fine.
Does the man know that the money is coming out of his Edward Jones account, Jeff?
No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, his nephew, you know, said don't tell him, you know, and I just don't want to have no secrets.
I understand that. We have that conversation in my family, too. You know, this will stress Mom and Dad out so much if we tell them that the new TV set costs $300 that let's just not tell them. What advice do you have for us on along those lines?
Well, I think transparency is always the safest. The question, Jeff, is does your neighbor have the cognitive skills to understand what you're talking about? And that... You know.
Yeah, he's like yes and no. One day he's all there, and the next day he'll just forget everything.
Yeah.
So his lucidity waxes and wanes. I think just keep receipts and make a list of the services you're providing, because otherwise, at some point in the future, you may get grabbed.
And God bless you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
We got to go, Carrie. Are trusts better than wills? Are those different things? Is one superior to another?
The answer is it depends on the circumstances. Most people today use a revocable living trust to avoid a post-death probate proceeding. In Illinois, if you die with assets in excess of $100,000 in any type of asset, it could be cash, it could be money, it could be a house. The law requires if it's in your name alone, it needs to be probated. If you fund your living trust, your irrevocable living trust, with your assets, you can avoid that post-death probate. There's a lot of other pros and cons, but time doesn't allow. Thanks for calling.
Okay, so you can call Carrie, and the number is 312-201-0900. Carrie, you always light up the phones. Lots of good questions. I hope you can join us again.
Will do. Thanks for having me, John.